When we think of Jesus' miracles, we usually think of him helping those in desperate need, feeding the hungry, healing the blind and the lame, delivering the demon-possessed, or even raising the dead. These account for most of Jesus' miracles narrated in the Gospels. They are acts which relieve suffering, which restore life, health, and wholeness. And so it's a bit surprising then that the first miracle of Jesus' ministry in John's Gospel is one that almost seems frivolous. There is no desperate, life-threatening need in this story, no crisis of hunger or illness. Rather, the crisis in this story is that the wine has run out at a wedding banquet. It's a problem that threatens to cut a wedding celebration short and to cause the host considerable embarrassment, but certainly poses no immediate danger to anyone's life or health. Such is the case, though, in many of the situations of our lives which cause us worry and anxiety. There's a little book out there called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And the subtitle of the book reads, "And It's All Small Stuff." The author wants to point out that we tend to make much ado about nothing. We allow ourselves to overthink, over-worry, over-manage things in our lives that would really not be so problematic if we'd just chill out. Now, I'm no expert on any of this, but I do tend to think that because we over-worry about the small stuff, things like the internet not connecting or having bought 1% milk instead of 2%, that we wear ourselves out to the degree that when something big does come along, we have very little energy to manage the situation. Perhaps Jesus' mother could have benefited from the book. This story in John's Gospel is weird in so many ways. Jesus is at the wedding, and his date seems to be his mother. And when she finds out that they've run out of wine, she tells her son to fix the problem. Now, God bless her, my own mother, and she's probably watching online today, my own mother can be a bit of a worrier. And there are certain times I have to say to her, "Mom, let it go. Just don't stress out about it too much." Jesus basically says the same thing to his mom. "It's not my problem." And so she goes over his head. She goes straight to the caterer and just says, "Do whatever he tells you." From one son of an anxious mother to another, "Jesus, I hear you. I feel your pain." So Mother Mary, Jesus' mother Mary, not my mother Mary. I know, it gets confusing. Jesus' mother has forced his hand. Let the cat out of the bag. Expose Jesus as the one who can fix any problem, big or small. Never mind that there are starving children and dictators amassing troops at the borders of peaceful neighboring nations. This wedding has run out of wine, and the guests are not going to be very happy. The other part of the story that's just plain weird is the sheer massive amount of wine produced. 6 stone jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Now, perhaps Jesus is just trying to make a point, but the math works out to be 120 to 180 gallons of wine. That's a possible 540 bottles of wine by today's metrics. At that, even Two-Buck Chuck from Trader Joe's works out to be over $1,000 worth of wine. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't make Two-Buck Chuck when he turned water into wine. from don't bother me with your problems, Mom, to here you go, have some really good wine and enough left over to last you the rest of your life. Jesus goes from 0 to 60 faster than a jackrabbit on a date. And this is just the first of his miracles, or signs, as John likes to put it. You know, I begin to think that God kind of has a flair for the dramatic. It's like God doesn't do things inconspicuously or under the radar. Whether it's parting the Red Sea to get the Hebrews out of Egypt or having Jonah swallowed up by a great fish, God likes to do things in ways that get people's attention. Which is maybe why it seems so strange that when it comes to sending Jesus into the world, Jesus doesn't come as some would have expected, with great fanfare and glory. In Jesus, God doesn't display the power and majesty of the divine supremacy, but shows up humbly, weak, and judging by today's story, not even wanting to show off his miracles. At the same time, though, Jesus can't stop himself. When he finally gets the chance to show off, Jesus doesn't just make a little bit of cheap wine to hold the party over until a couple of cousins can go down to the grocery store. Rather, Jesus takes the opportunity to put on display the abundance of God's grace. The story of water turned into wine is supposed to signal to us who have an inside track of what God is really up to, that this Jesus who talks back to his mother, who doesn't want to have to get out there and get a real job, this simpleton from a little town down the road from Cana, is the fullness of God, the complete promise and the salvation of the whole world. Or to put it another way, God is willing to show up and make a difference in our lives, even when all it is small stuff. But let's take a look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians also. This week we begin a short little series in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. These chapters link Paul's teaching about spiritual gifts with his famous words about love. Today we hear about the gifts like utterance of wisdom and discernments of spirits. Next week we'll talk about the second half of chapter 12, where he talks about the parts of the body, the eye not being more important than the ear or the foot over the hand. And in 2 weeks, we conclude with Paul's legendary love chapter, 13. You've heard it read at countless weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never ends. What the apostle is getting at here is that even though some gifts, some people's talents and abilities might seem to be more important than others, more extravagant, more grand and glorious, no one can claim that their gift is better than anyone else's. There are a variety of gifts, Paul writes, but the same Spirit. Spirit with a capital S. So if someone says, God makes me more important than you because I do things that actually help people and all you do is crunch numbers or manufacture widgets, that person is not speaking by the Spirit of God. Or if someone says, I'm more important because God likes my offering better than yours, that person is not speaking by the Spirit of God. And if someone says, I'm better than you because I read the Bible as it's supposed to be read, not like those who support Muslim or communists or gypsies or queers or non-Americans, that person is not speaking by the Word of God. Water turned into wine is a neat trick, And I'm sure Jesus was the talk of the neighborhood when folks remembered the wedding at Cana. But this is just the first of Jesus' signs. This is just the first of what Jesus will do to express the extravagant love of God revealed as he welcomes all people into the kingdom. That welcome will include every person from every walk of life, as long as they're able to let go of this assumption that in order to be great, one person has to be better than another. As Paul will say in a couple of weeks, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. It insists not on its own way. It rejoices not in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. And this love of God will overflow like wine filling those jars, 120, 150, 180 gallons. There's love enough for everyone. For those who deserve it, and those who don't. At first glance, it may seem that this, the first of Jesus' signs that reveal his glory, is frivolous, simple. But it's all simple stuff. Simple enough to love all, receive all, feed all. Maybe even offer them a bit of wine.